Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Dr. Guy's Monday Night Gumbo with your host, Dr. Tanisha Guy, licensed professional counselor, and co-host Andrea Wise Brown, life strategist and licensed professional counselor, and Sean the Realist. Dr. Guy Monday Night Gumbo and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by talk show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of the show host. Dr. Guy Monday Night Gumbo is not intended to be therapy, but the sole purpose is to disseminate information, increase dialogue across ages, religious preference, gender, and sexual orientation. Don't forget to tune in every week to Dr. Guy's Monday Night Gumbo.
Hello. Hello, everyone, and welcome to an episode of Dr. Guy's Monday Night Gumbo. So sorry, we're having some IT problems. We are going to go ahead and get started with our show tonight. Hopefully all of you guys had a great 4th of July holiday. And our show topic for tonight is the miseducation of men in relationships. And as always, I'm going to introduce our guest. You've heard him before. He's been a guest at our past show, and he's coming back tonight, and that is Mr. Michael Rutledge. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
All righty. And as always, my co-host, Sean the Realist. Hey, Sean.
What's going on? What's going on, Rev? How you doing over there?
What's up, Realist?
I'm all right. Over here doing some cyber tricking. It's all right, though.
Okay. So we are going to go ahead and get into tonight's topic, the miseducation of men in relationships. Now, Mr. Rutledge, I'm going to let you just even describe what that title means, because when I hear that, after you explain to our listeners kind of what that encompasses, I'm going to tell you what my version of that is. Because I think we talk a lot about the miseducation of women in relationships. And so I'm glad that you wanted to join us tonight as we talk about relationships as it relates to men specifically. So kind of give us an overview of what that means.
Okay. Well, it's been... You still there? Okay. It's been my experience, Dr. Guy, that a vast majority of men... really don't know what it means to be a man. I would say many of us are man-ish, but not manly. I think it starts our identity as who we are as a man, what a man is. And if we really don't know what our identity is, then it's been my experience that taints our purpose. And if we don't know what our purpose is, then we're kind of just out there floundering, trying to find what it is we're supposed to do. Huh. And while we're floundering, we don't have any direction. And because we don't have any direction, then how can we, in fact, be men? So that's been my experience.
So you're saying that, this I think is what I heard you say, in a nutshell, that it's really difficult for men to be men in relationships when they lack having an identity of being an identity of manhood.
Right. Right. I would say that in a nutshell
Sean,
is pretty good.
Okay. So, Sean, I didn't say that. That didn't come from a woman, Sean. I was repeating what I believe Mr. Rutledge was saying. So what are your thoughts on that topic?
I mean, I think we're diametrically opposed. I think part of the problem about man
love it.
I think part of the problem with manhood is we tend to get the definition from women, and nothing against you all, but there's a difference between what y'all want and what y'all need.
Wow. What they want and what they need.
Really?
Wow. So what do you think it is that they need, sir?
Depends on the woman.
Oh, okay.
So whereas, like, say for instance, this is something Dr. Guy and I tend to talk about. You may not be around for some of these conversations, but I have a lot of female friends that exhibit masculine qualities.
Okay.
And what they say is they want an alpha male, but by definition, because of their qualities, they don't attract alpha men because they're so aggressive. So what happens is they find these weaker, softer guys, and once they kind of run them through the ringer, they want them to step up and become alphas. But the problem with that is that's not who they are, and that's not why they're with these women. So what happens is after they make them jump through all these hoops, and they're like, okay, now I'm ready for you to leave, and I want to take the back burner. But those men can't do that because by definition, that's not who they are. So, you know, a lot of times you'll find people in those situations that they end up in a cycle where they're dating, quote unquote, the same type of guy. I can't find the guy that I want. And a lot of times it's because the qualities you have doesn't attract the type of guy that you think you want. So,
That's interesting. That's very interesting because to me that lines up with what I'm saying. Let me tell you why. Because I know what my identity is. My identity, Sean, lies in the fact that I was created to be a manager. And when I say manager, I mean I was created to be a cultivator. And what am I supposed to cultivate? I'm supposed to cultivate everything that comes in my area of responsibility, my area of influence, my walk, whatever you want, whatever you want to put on it. But if a man doesn't know that he's supposed to manage, if he's supposed to set the bar, that he is the one who's supposed to take it. If he doesn't know that or know what that looks like, then that woman, who I would even call an alpha woman, well, yeah, she's going to run right over that fella. He's got no sense of who he is or what his purpose is. So I agree with you on that.
Well, I think what I'm saying is in relation to that, you know, because of the women that we have, they can't dictate my purpose and they don't want to be managed. You know, I'm just saying, you know, that was what I was talking about in terms of, you know, the women that I know, they have this problem, you know. I hear this a lot. Well, you know, I need a strong man, and I don't need to run over nobody. And I'm like, man, what you looking for, a relationship? Well, you're a wildebeest. Like, you know, I mean, I don't need to control you. You know, like, I don't need to jump on your back and, you know, we go bucking around the yard like a horse until I break you. Like, I'm not interested in that. And, you know, they're like, well, I want a strong man. Well, I'm strong, but I'm lazy sometimes. Like, if I got to look at the horse that's over in the corner, eating some grass, all calm, or the horse is over there kicking the fence for no damn reason, I'm going to go over to the horse, you know, just eating the grass. It's not that I ain't man enough to get on the horse. It's just not a wise use of my energy. So I think that is the, you know, concept that women have. Like, you know, when you talk about being an alpha, they think because I'm the alpha, I'm supposed to look for the meanest horse and jump on it and break that one. I'm like, nah, I just need a horse to get around on. You know, like, if you look at the lion, he doesn't chase the fastest gazelle. He chases the one he can catch. The fastest gazelle don't taste no better than the slower one. I just need to eat. So, you know, it's just those philosophies.
Okay.
You know, I know how you talk about, well, you know, the highest apple in the tree is the one that you should get because it takes the most effort. Well, that's the apple that the bird's getting. Like, well, I'm going to climb all the way up there and the bird done ate it. You know, so, I mean, that's just my philosophy, you know. I could be right for some people. I could be wrong for others. I could just tell you what works for me.
Okay.
Okay, you guys.
So what it sounds like, we need to change your name from Sean the Realist to Sean the Opportunist.
I mean, we all are opportunists, whether you realize it or not.
No. Oh, I'm sorry. About to get ahead.
Speaking of opportunists, so, and I think I would probably have to agree with Sean on this one. That, to a certain extent, I do think that everyone is an opportunist, but, you know, that would probably lead us into a different direction. And I did want to make this comment and then ask you guys this question. So when we discussed that we were going to be talking about the miseducation of men in relationships, I instantly started to think that, are we saying that men in 2015 really don't know how to have relationships because they don't desire to be in relationships? Or are we just saying that as a result of some systemic issues that men stray away from being in relationships? And I don't know, maybe that's one and the same.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking that's one and the same.
Go ahead.
And I was talking to two young ladies. I was talking to two young ladies about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and they were telling me how they're finding that the men in their peer group seem to be afraid of them, and how they don't really seem to have it in them to be kind of, not necessarily predatory, but more along the lines of assertive and a matter of fact in what they do. And I found that quite interesting, because I found that to be the same in talking to some young guys. Like I said, because they don't realize the power, most of us don't realize the power that we have. I understand that power. And first, and just for the record, I have an alpha chick. And I have one of those who Sean's talking about. But
yes, you do.
That makes,
yes, sir, you do. Yes, sir, you
do. Yeah, yeah. And I dig that. And I dig that about her, because I'm an alpha guy. And she compliments me. But if I was not an alpha guy, number one, if I did not know where my identity lies, if I did not know what my purpose is, then my relationship would be a real struggle. And because of that, man, she wouldn't be where she is right now. She wouldn't be as fulfilled as she is right now. And we wouldn't be in the best time of our lives right now, because I know what it is I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, you'd be somewhere bleeding at the neck, you know, gasping for air. that's what would be going on.
No, but I mean, but for real though, I mean, we really are missing the mark, in relationships, because we are afraid to take our place.
Well, I mean, I think part of that problem, from my perspective, is that there has been a shift in the focus, and when you talk about, and I know the phone lines ought to light up after I say this, but when the woman's focus has been taken out of the family and it's now career, then now what you have is more or less a different dynamic. You know, and I understand why those gentlemen are talking about they're scared of these women, is because, you know, and not saying this is right, but the way that the laws are set up, like, I don't have any leverage. You know, if I get into an argument with a woman and she called the police, 9 times out of 10, it's not looking good for your boy. And because I have the type of job that I have, you know, I can't slap nobody. There can't be any issues of domestic violence. So, you know, whereas, you know, in the 60s and 70s and the 1800s, you know, I'm not saying it's right to smack a woman, but, you know, they weren't those same repercussions when you talk about when a man was a man. You know, I'm not saying you got to be Harpo, you know, or Mr. on The Color Purple, but at the same time, there was a different type of respect. So when I talked to my grandmother about, you know, some of the things that were allowed and tolerated, and I look at the women now, you know, they got a confrontation with a guy and they be all in his face, because they know if I hit you, I got more to lose. So when we talk about being aggressive, I may be physically the aggressor, but mentally and emotionally, you know, that's kind of shifted.
Interesting. That's interesting.
Now, the idea behind the miseducation of men, this is definitely not a new concept. And there's actually a gentleman that is pretty well known. Paul C. Brunson is an author and a renowned matchmaker, and he actually wrote an article that talked about the miseducation of single men. But he took a different spin on it, and he pretty much said that in the article, he prefaced it by saying men focus on the wrong things. He says as a young man, he was told to get an education, get a career, get established, and then find a wife. And he believes it should be the other way around. Like you should find a wife because your wife helps complete you, and then she supports you in building your career, obtaining assets, and so on. And so his article has like a different twist to it as we're talking about the miseducation of men as it relates to relationship. But I just thought that was interesting that he said as a young man and growing up and even now that that's kind of what men are taught is that men should go out and get established first and then go find someone that they want to spend the rest of their life with. Whereas I think women may be taught to go find your husband and then, you know, build on that. And so, Mr. Rutledge, you and Sean are definitely from two different generations. And so what are your thoughts on that?
Well, from my perspective, I can say this, and I'm kind of going to get biblical on this, but when Adam started out, he was by himself, and he was given responsibility. He was given a thing to do. He was given a job to complete. Then after that, he was given the bone of his bone and the flesh of his flesh to help him with that which he was responsible for. And in effect, I'll use your term, complete him. Now, do we have to wait until then? I don't think so. I don't think we have to wait. And I can tell you that from my own personal life because my wife and I started dating before I had a real job. And she was a part of my life before I had a real life. So after I found that thing that I was supposed to do, she was right there with me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, she was supporting me basically before I had anything to support. She was a part of me before I got there. And this is one of the things that we're missing in terms of identity. What I was talking about earlier. I know that the thing that is unique for me as a man is I am designed to create an atmosphere in a relationship with my wife that totally promotes and totally open for intimacy. And what I mean by intimacy is create an atmosphere where she is comfortable enough to surrender herself to me because I have shown her the way because I have surrendered myself to her, to be known by her and to know her. But we don't know how to do that. We're not taught how to do that because intimacy is a physical thing for us. That's what we're taught. We're taught intimacy is a physical thing.
And not an emotional connection.
Exactly. Without that emotional connection, what's the point? Come on, realist.
Well, I mean, I think for your generation, that model is something that's a little bit more embraced. But when we talk about the millennials who may not have the same core values, you know, they tend to look, you know, from a physical standpoint, whether it be, you know, body and people who are interested in getting plastic surgery because they don't look like the Kardashians. They feel like they are a failure if they don't have a Benz because we have, you know, pretty much commoditized and materialized that whole aspect, and they're looking for attention and not love through the social networks. So not saying that those things are new because there's nothing new under the sun. I just think it's more of a prevalent thing. There's a certain window from what I've seen that women look for a mate, and after they look for a mate and they're successful, then they'll roll into that. If they don't, then they'll tend to focus on their career. And so from a male perspective, you know, what you will hear a lot of times is the pressure that women feel about liking a guy, but he may not complete them in the terms of the story that they want. What does he do? Where does his family come from? You know, how much money does he have? Those things are
right.
a lot more important and prevalent than they used to be before because, you know, the terms and the idea of what a good man was. If he got up and he went to work and he had a work ethic, and when we were more of a manufacturing, a physical labor type of environment, that was acceptable. But, you know, there's a renaissance now that we're in information and knowledge-based era that allow women to compete at a level that they never have competed before. So those things that you're talking about may not necessarily be in play like they once were.
You know what? Because I'm the only woman on the panel tonight, I have to ask this question. And Sean, you brought it up when you talked about work ethic. Even though I do believe that we are in a extremely materialistic society, more so now, it appears to be more prevalent now because we have access to the World Wide Web and social media and reality shows. At least that's my opinion, that it appears to be more glorified. But when you talk about work ethic, what do you, and this question is for both of you all as men, do you
sure.
feel that the male work ethic has diminished or has the female work ethic just, and I don't even know what word to use for it. So I'll go back to the first one. Just overall, do you believe that there is a diminishing of the work ethic for men overall?
No.
Yes. Yes. No, there's no question in my mind about it. And I say there's no question about it. Number one, because there have been so many men, again, the men's education part, who have been led to believe that a woman is supposed to take care of him rather than he take care of her. And because there are so many young fellas, even old fellas, who are determined to make that model work, yeah, work ethic is down the drain. It's in the tubes. And not only that, but when I talk about work ethic, it also applies to the relationship. You know what I mean? It translates. It's the work ethic isn't one dimensional. So we're talking about a holistic man. I don't want to go to work. I don't want to put in work on the job. I don't want to put in work in my relationship with my wife or my significant other. I don't want to put in work on anything that's going to cause me to put in any effort in, actually. So, yeah, work ethic sucks right now.
And Sean,
totally.
You disagree.
Yeah, because it's a shift in the work ethic. Like, what happens is a shift. So what happens is, you know, from what I've seen from my mother being in school, is now the girls are more aggressive and the boys are confused about how to compete because I can't go over there and punch you. You can't play football together. You can't play King of the Hill because I get in trouble. So what I see is the men are confused. And when we look at those, like I said, those jobs that traditionally demanded physical labor, they're not there anymore. So it's a different type of competition that they may not necessarily understand, but they are smart enough to know that if I got to choose between, you know, physical labor for a reduced rate or alternate means, they're going to choose the alternate means. So I don't think that the work ethic is lacking. I think that the lack of understanding of the economy is what it is. Like, say, for instance, you know, it goes back to that double standard that, you know, you want to, you know, let your boys go out in the world and figure their way out, but you go do everything in the world so your daughter don't get on the pole and strip. So it's a dichotomy that still exists.
But if that was the case, wouldn't it be the idea behind they don't really know what to do or how to compete? And this statistic is only the statistic that I'm going to give is only relevant to African Americans. But African American females outnumber men in college classrooms 11-1. And I don't know the reason why there's this huge gap between the number of women, African American women in college, and the number of African American men in college, other than there's something going on with their work ethic, other than the
exactly.
fact that they have decided that college is not for me because I don't want to work that way. I don't know what it is, but just the statistics alone shows us that there's some difference in work ethic. Can you get it out? over the past 20 years.
I wouldn't say that's work ethic. I think that's what you talk about, placing a value on a college education.
But in a college education is what allows me to compete and be more marketable, then why wouldn't I place an emphasis on that?
Well, exactly. Just going back to what I'm saying about how men perceive the world versus women. Like, you know, you're not going to find too many women that want to drive a forklift or be a steel worker.
Yeah. Many.
So, right. I'm not saying you're not going to find any. I'm saying you're not going to find many. So since if I am a, you know, 5'7", 130-pound woman, I know that I'm not going to work in the steel mill, so I have to figure out something else. So, you know, like I said, I think it's more about the emphasis and how we look at the world versus the workers.
It's interesting you say that, Sean, because when I look at it, I look at the fact that when women were not a huge part of the workforce outside the home, I still see the fact that they had a real good work ethic in the home, making sure that their husband, their children, their dwelling place, the groceries were always on point. And anything else that they did, they still had that same work ethic before they were in the workforce. They only it was only a transfer of focus from home to the workplace, whereas we as men, we just don't have that same drive. Many of us just don't have that same drive.
I disagree, and I can speak from my perspective because I didn't want to go to college. My mother forced me. But I did have other things planned or in mind, you know, more of an entrepreneurial route. So, you know, if you want to if you want to measure it quantitatively in terms of college, then I can't argue with you on that. But to me, based on the people that I know, my experience, it wasn't that I was lazy. That just wasn't the route I wanted to take. Because to me, it took too long. You know, when we talk about, say, for instance, education, you know, what has shifted from a decadence or a renaissance where liberal arts degree, you know, you get a philosophy degree and come out and do well, you know, in the 80s and the 90s, but now you have to have a specific trade or discipline. So just the way that at least my generation of males looked at things, you know, like when I was in college, we had my friends and I had a record label. So, I mean, there were other things that I was doing that I saw was profitable and was profitable to me. It just wasn't school. So if you want to say I didn't have a work ethic, you know, because of my lack of interest in traditional education, I mean, that's your prerogative, but that was not the case.
I mean, I definitely don't think that applies to everyone, Sean, that don't get me wrong, I'm all for entrepreneurship. But we're talking about a large percentage of men that aren't even into entrepreneurship. They're not into anything. In fact, they're financially dependent on their spouses or girlfriends. And that's the group of men that I'm talking about that appears to be pretty disturbing. So when you talk about the miseducation of men and relationships, that's what comes to mind to me, is that as a man of the house, if you want me to let you lead and I'm supposed to follow you, I at least need to be competent, or at least need to feel that you're competent and capable and leading. So how do I follow a man that, one, has no income or doesn't make sound decisions, which is the reason why he doesn't have income or stable enough income? So now this impacts our relationship. So those are the things that I think about when I was talking about just kind of the laziness, and do you think that there's a change in this particular generation?
Well, that's your particular things that you're looking for. So I have run across a lot of women who are successful that want a male figure to feel safe or protected. So they may not want or care about them making those decisions. That's just something you need. And a lot of times I find successful women who find themselves in relationships with, you know, men who may not have their same educational background, but they feel safe with them. And they don't get as smart with them because they may have a felony and know that they might punch them in the mouth. So, I mean, that's what I've seen. Whereas, you know, I'm not going to do anything to you. And, you know, like I said, Dr. Gav, we talked about the situation I was in with a young lady, and it got physical. And so I left, you know, because I had more to lose. And to her, that was how she felt. Like, oh, you running? I'm like, I ain't running. I just can't hit you. It's not smart. But, you know, I want to say another year and a half later, there was a nice gentleman that worked offshore and drove trucks, and she did the same thing to him. And, you know, as you know, they say on the reality show, he put them paws on her. You know, but that's what she needed to understand.
Wow.
That's interesting. That's so interesting.
What's interesting about it?
And I wonder, what you said, this, you know, the whole call thing. But I wonder what would it been like if she had had a man who understood the fact that, you know what, I love this girl right here. And no matter what, I'm going to make her feel that she's just the most important. There's nothing more important to me in my life than her. And I'm going to show her by the way I live with her. I'm going to make decisions.
Yeah,
that,
I hear you, but when she started throwing them shoes and went in the kitchen and got that knife, you know, we was just friends, so I hear what you're saying, but it just don't compute. You know, at least from what I've been told, you know, maybe I'm going to lose some friends, but, you know, it's what Grandma told me, you know, when you're man enough to put your hands on a man, you're man enough to get hit. So, you know, that was a lesson she had to learn. You know, I don't care who you are, dog, cat, you know, child. Like, if you'd have raised up and hit your mama, what was going to happen to you, good reverend?
Oh, if I hit my mama? Oh, man,
yeah.
I wouldn't be here right now if I hit my mama.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. If penitentiary rules in effect, respect everybody and everything.
Oh, but that's true, but okay.
I was just about to say, we have a caller, so I want to go to the phone lines, and then we'll come back to that. So don't forget your statement, Mr. Rutledge. We are going to go to Chicago. You are on the air, 708.
Yes, hello. How you doing, coffee guy? Yes,
Hi.
I just want to go back and make a comment regarding the work ethic of men. And I was listening to your panel speaker there when he said that it was no different, or I guess there was a different mentality for men in his age bracket. I believe that there's a definite shift in the work ethics of young men as well as old men. And I think what has to contribute to that, especially with the younger generation, where it goes back in a sense to the single parents, more so of raising these young men, and they somehow substitute their sons in the place of their boyfriends and their husbands, and they give them a pass instead of teaching them in terms of being a young boy to grow up to be a young man, where they never instill in them the work ethics in terms of providing for themselves as well as for their mates once they get old. So you made a valid point about the fact that they do feel that the woman's supposed to take, for example, the young guy. He doesn't go to school, he doesn't want to go to service, and he doesn't want to work. He'll get a female, and she has everything already established. She's in school, she's got a car. 9 out of 10 times, she might have one, maybe two kids, and she's pulling the whole load. He comes along, and he gets there, and he tells her all these things, but yet he never contributes to help out. And when she gets on him, then she's nagging him. You know, the work ethics start at a very young age. It goes back, I think, to where the parents, in a sense, where that child sees parents do in order to provide for them. Now, keep in mind, all kids aren't going to follow that guidance because they can have the best of everything and they can still come up and they can still want to be deadbeats, they don't want to do anything. But the issue of man in terms of providing and having a certain mentality that he should provide for himself as well as the family, that's almost a dying concept. Still, I mean, I guess most of the older generation, because we knew what it was like in terms of you didn't get what you have now when parents give so much to kids, and they expect a certain amount of things, you know. It's just like the attitude of most young kids, that first job, they don't want to do it. You figure the fast food industry is the ideal situation for the entry level in the workforce. But you tell them that there's a quick way to get money, and they'll tell you that I'm not working for minimum wage. But yet, there's no skill set, there's no experience, and they feel that they should be making, what, $20, $30 an hour with no education and no experience. That doesn't work that way. You know, I was surprised to hear your comment on the issue of 11-to-1 ratio men to women in college. That's another factor there. In order to go to school, you have to have some form of discipline. And work ethics is discipline. That's the bottom line. Pretty much stems from that. You know, we've got a couple of DJs here, and they have this saying, you don't work, you don't eat. And that's basically it. So if you have no work ethic, you can't do anything. And if you can't work, then how are you going to be the head of your relationship as well as the head of the household? You made a valid point there. If he's not working, well, if he doesn't have any money, then, of course, he's not working. And if he wants to be the head, how can he lead if he doesn't have enough sense to work? It's just unfortunately that, you know, society has come to that point where man feels that he's comfortable as being, I guess, the catchphrase now, a stay-at-home dad, in a sense. You know?
Well, stay-at-home dads, in the defense of the stay-at-home dads, those are the ones, and I'm hoping, and I've talked to some of them, but these are the dads that are actually staying at home and they're taking care of the house. I'm not even talking about that group of men. I'm talking about just the stay-at-home dudes that don't work, not in school, they don't pay any bills, and yet they have vehicles, they do what they want to do, they spend money, and yet none of those expenses are coming out of their pocket. But yet, they don't miss a beat. teenagers say, they don't sleep.
Right.
And yet their wives or their girlfriends are taking care of them. So for me, that just definitely seems like there's a change in the work ethic. Even with the young teenagers that I work with now, when I ask them, do they have summer jobs? Are they looking for summer jobs? They look at me like I have two heads. They're kind of like, what are you talking about? Why would I get a job? Like, and I don't understand how males, and these are male teenagers, they don't want to work, but yet they have the latest phone, they have the brand new tennis shoes on, and there's this expectation, there's this sense of entitlement that they're supposed to get it. Yeah, and yet they don't know how to get it because it's always been handed to them. So I think part
My
of what
point.
We're talking
yeah.
about it is beyond, you know, just the individual and his poor work ethic, but it has to do with some systemic concerns that the parenting styles are very different. Because I can only speak to my upbringing that in high school, I had two jobs and went to school in high school and was an honor student, but I just had a desire to want to work. And I can't even tell you that it bothered me. Like, I like going to work. I like getting a paycheck. So what is it about, and I, you guys can answer this because everybody on the panel is a working man, what is it about the man that feels like it's okay not to work, but yet wants to still be the head of his household in a relationship? Those two just, that it's an oxymoron. It just really doesn't exist.
Well, let me jump on this quick before the Rev get a hold of me. you know, and I'm going to use some of his stuff with you. If I'm recalling correct, you know, when we had the little falling out in the gardens, you know, the women, you know, you had your burden, which we won't discuss, but our burden was the toil in the field, you know, physical labor. So there's a certain component of being a man that does involve some type of physical labor, whether it's lifting weights, doing something. You just have to be physical. That's just how the body works. But I think what you're talking about goes back to what I was saying is a shift. Like, you got a job because that's what society was. It was about getting jobs. Now society is more about creating jobs and creating income and creating opportunities. So those are the things that these gentlemen are looking for. It's not that they don't want to work. They just have seen.
But they're not even doing that, though.
Well,
I can
tell you they probably just as many women. You know, they 11 of them in school, but I can tell you the same ones that hair be on, eyebrows be on fleck, and they be having to do everything. So, you know, we're not going to go back and forth about what guy is doing this and what girl is doing that. I think it's just a generational thing. Like when you talk about the stories that you hear about successful entrepreneurs or business people or, you know, 10-year-olds that starting tie companies, like the opportunities are there to create for yourself. A lot of times they don't have the education to do it themselves. They don't have the resources or the people to guide them, but that's still what they want. Is it right? No. But I'm not going to let you sit here and slander these good men just because they found a woman who wants to take care of them. This ain't nothing new. You know, Bishop Don Juan wasn't taking care of himself, you know. So all of a sudden, you want to act like this is something new, and it's the new guys that don't want to work. You know, how many people can we talk about when we go back to the Vietnam era when the veterans came back? How many of them was working? They was hustling. They was on heroin. You know, so I'm not going to let you do that to my people and my generation.
Well, that
talk about we don't want to work.
But they were coming back from war, traumatized.
So the last war was Vietnam? What are you talking about? I sure remember some Iraqi freedom and Desert Storm and a whole bunch of stuff.
That's a whole different world, though, Sean.
That's a whole different world.
All I'm telling you is I saw the Frank Lucas story. I saw how the drugs got back. That was an entrepreneur. You know, like, this is not new. Just because, you know, you all are suddenly in your feelings about, you know, the gentleman that you were seeing with the skinny jeans on with no job. I mean, what happened to the pimp?
I am. It bothers me to see a man in skinny jeans with no job. I will confess to that. It does.
Me too. You know, even Maya Angelou used to run a brothel. So don't come in here talking about the quick money, the hustle, the work ethic. We're not doing that. I'm not going to do that.
But you know what, Sharon? Okay. At least that pimp got a work ethic.
Yep.
At least that pimp got a work ethic.
He got
he
out
on his
ethic is watching his money.
Right.
On his,
even the pimp was working.
And let me tell you
at
something.
At least he got on his grind.
But that guy that's sitting around and when them Jordans come out, he know he better have them Jordans. I don't care what you do with the rest of that check, but that Jordan money better be here. It's the same thing.
You know what? Hold that thought. We're going to go back to the phone lines, and it looks like we're going to Dallas at 214. You are on the air.
Hello there. This is Brittany. And
hey, Brittany.
Hello there. My thing is, okay, let's say about the dudes with the men with the good work ethic, right?
Uh-huh.
I found a lot of dudes that have themselves together and with a nice job, a nice car, just everything, whatever woman probably would desire. But yet they don't want to date anyone because they feel like they high commodity, you know, like they don't fit. So therefore, it's just like now we're waiting on men don't want to settle down until they 40, 45. And now it's like that's kind of messing us up because, you know, as a woman, we're ready to settle down. Well, you know, after college, we think that we had this fairy tale, we're going to go to college, find his husband, so on. But they got a whole nother agenda now. It's like they go to college and they get themselves together for them to be together, for us to kind of, for them to be a tease, I say. You know, you should be happy that you with a man because I got a job. So it becomes like you should be happy that you have a man with a job and that can do some stuff so he feels like he can do whatever he wants to do.
Yes.
And so that's the biggest problem that I see with men. I mean, because a man, they would get out and work, but how you going to get out and work, and, you know, when it's 11 to 1, when it's 11 women to one man?
Uh-huh.
And
you're
right,
Brittany. That's what. No, you don't. It has nothing to do with the woman. It has everything to do with the man.
But you know,
the same thing that Paul Brunson was talking about.
And Dr. Guy, we talk about this all the time. The internet is leveled the playing field. I can talk to her in Dallas. I can talk to her in Miami. I can talk to her in Rio de Janeiro. You know, like, I have options. The world is a big place for success.
It is.
You know what, Sean? All that sounds all cool for a guy your generation, you know, being all young and everything.
Mm-hmm.
but if you're talking about, again, we're talking about a man here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what you're talking about is like a kid in the candy store that doesn't have control over himself.
Say that again, Robert.
Whatever
is good control.
To him. You know what I'm saying?
No,
that's what that is. No, don't control it. Let that be real about it.
No, let me talk about what you said. I have control.
Okay.
I guess that's what makes me an opportunist. I'm just a good businessman. You know, I'm
okay.
The best business proposition. So,
So it's business.
Not that business is to you.
Well, that's the whole. Well, that's what's wrong with it, though.
There is a business to a relationship. No, it's not.
That's what's wrong with it right there.
Hold on, slow down, Rev. You are not going to sit here and tell me you ain't never counseled somebody about the business of marriage. I'm about to jump off this phone.
You can jump as high as you can. You can jump as high as you can. But if we want to use your scenario.
There's not any financial aspects to the business of marriage. How come people get divorced? What's the number one reason? Is it changing?
Are you going to answer my question for me, Sean?
No, I said go ahead. I'm quiet.
Okay, I said I was one. Okay. Because you asked me one.
I can only speak from my experience.
Mm. And with my experience, the divorces have been because it was a man who would not take his place as a man in that relationship.
No.
That's what it was.
That
it wasn't money.
That cheating? I don't know what that means. I need a reason.
Whatever it was.
Is it financial? Is it the mother-in-law? Is it the kids? Let me put it to you like this.
Generally, it's because there was a man who was told by his wife who he was supposed to have this intimate relationship with, this is what I need from you, and that's all I need. But he would refuse to do that because he was like, nobody's going to tell me what to do because I'm the man. And that's counterproductive. That's not even manly. That's incredibly childish and incredibly immature.
I'm still waiting on my number one answer. Is it financial? Is it adultery? You're speaking around.
There has been adultery.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that has been adultery, but the least of them have been financial.
So you're telling me the least problem people have in marriages is financial? They lead to divorce.
I said by my experience. The least have been financial.
Okay, that's cool. Maybe you got some good
things in your face. That takes us to a different area when we talk about, you know, why the relationships aren't ending because of, you know, finance and all these other reasons. But at the end of the day, I think Mr. Rutledge nailed it when he said, and Brittany is speaking to this too with her comment, is that men are really just self-evolved. And so they decide that, and this is just what Paul Brunson said in his article, is that men decide, I want to go out, I'm going to get financially stable, I'm going to build my wealth, and then I'll decide to find myself a mate. Well, I may be 40, 50, who knows at that time, and exactly what Brittany is saying is that by that time, women have already, at least they've already, their plan is to find someone to have kids, because we know, unlike men, women do have a biological clock if their desire is to have kids. So that makes it very difficult to find your counterpart when he's looking to date multiple women, and as a single woman, you're looking to settle down and raise a family and move into that next phase into life, because life is about phases. And I think what we're hearing and what we're seeing in men is that men are extending this pre or latehood adolescent into their 20s and 30s instead of deciding to say, I want to settle down and I want to have a family and move on.
Well, I think,
and I just think that's what women experiences are.
Women aren't mirroring that because we talked about the focus not being on the family. So if we have talked about women who face the focus on career, and now that you've gotten your education and you're established, what you force is a window. So pretty much you can choose to have a family at a young age when you're still fertile, you know, according to your biological metrics, or you can go get your education, and now you're competing with the 11 chicks you were in college with, plus the other chicks that I'm probably talking to overseas. So to me, like I said, it's more about a business or an opportunity. And when we talk about the, you know, black woman, quote unquote, not being in terms of matriarchal versus patriarchal society, when I've dealt with women from international cultures,
it's a lot different. They're a lot nicer. So, you know what?
You said they're a lot nicer. I'm not even going to respond to that about them being a whole lot nicer, Tom, because I'm going to go to the phone line. I'm going to the phone lines to see what our next caller has to say. Caller at 661, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up, guys? You know who this is. I just wanted to say, hey,
Joe.
I gave you guys a good shout out in my newsletter. I'll do it again in the next one. I hope you guys had a chance to read it. And I missed the bulk of the show, but I hear the fireworks. So I'm going to kind of sit on the side, you know, and hand Sean, you know, I'll be Sean's cut man.
Wait.
You know,
before you go.
Yeah.
Wait, before you go, I got to ask you this question. In your own experience, do you think that the male work ethic has changed?
Absolutely.
Just in your experience.
Yes. I think that the lack of fathers has produced a large number of males who have not been ushered into manhood, and so you know, their ethic is heavily influenced by pop culture. By women. I mean, I can't begin to tell you how many men I know grew up in female households, and so their work ethic has been influenced by the women around them, whose idea of manhood often comes from a distant association with other men as opposed to their own fathers. So yeah, it's definitely affected a large number of men.
I think
you can't punch them in the mouth no more either. You can't touch them.
You know what?
Yeah.
Speaking of women, Sean, you know, making the comments about you can't punch women in the mouth, one of the things, and I'm trying to get better with social media and be more involved
about guys.
In these things.
I was talking about guys. I want to straighten that out.
I was talking about
the younger guys. That's part of what we've lacked is that discipline because of the physical component being taken out of raising a man. That sometimes, you know, when you talk about men, you know, you have to have that physical confrontation to understand where you are on the totem pole. So, you know,
but
that's
if
70%
of households are raised by single women, where is the man? This, again, goes back to men and the miseducation of men in relationships.
Because
70% of households are raised by single black women. And not because these women want to be single, and not because they don't want these men in their lives, but some of these men just don't care.
Hold on. Out of the schools. Like, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not saying that women want to go and have, you know, be single. What I'm saying is society is taking that out of culture. The physical aspect that is a part of your rites of passage of being a man. So when you talk about men not being men, if you remove the rites of passage to manhood, then how do you expect to have a man?
Yeah, let me just say this, you know, there's three components to manhood, you know. And three basic components. I mean, you can break it down further, but the three basic ones that I determined are your work, meaning what you do in the world, your walk, meaning how you go through the world, and your legacy, meaning where you came from. Now, I was blessed in that I can look back at a strong, long line of men in my family stretching back to the Civil War. I mean, I know these guys. You know, I know their names, I know who they are, and I know my place amongst that pantheon of men. You know, they passed a torch to me, which I accepted young and carry forward, who I will pass to my child. Even though I have a girl, you know, I'm still going to pass a torch to her. But that legacy part is really important because I can look back at the men that I came from. And a lot of guys who are disconnected from that, there's a hole in them. You know, there's a hole in them that can't be filled by any women. They have to understand the men that produce them, and that's the hard part.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
As always, you guys, this has been such an interesting conversation, and we will probably have to bring it back because there's so much to talk about. And I did not want, and hopefully our male listeners did not feel like that this was, you know, bashing men, because it's never about bashing men, but it really is about us creating change. And so I couldn't have, you know, said it any better that it's important for men to get connected to their legacy. And it's really difficult. It's like they don't know who that is. And so for those men out there who have an opportunity to be an active role in their children's life, I'm definitely urging you to do whatever it is you need to do, to go to court, you know, deal with the baby mama. mama drama. Do whatever it is that you need to do, because that absent role in his life impacts him, and it impacts him more than he, more than you know. And so in our last minutes, I definitely want to get closing remarks. Sean, you want to go first or you want to go last? Well, Mr. Rutledge,
I'm gonna go my,
what are your
my
closing?
30 seconds off real quick. You know, hey,
okay.
You know, you got to punch them – you gotta punch them boys in the chest and make them a man. You can't be running around here expecting a woman to do it. I don't care where you got to go and get it done. You know, and for those women out there, if you're the 11-1, step your game up, because I'm international. I got these passports, I got these stamps, and these women in other countries are playing. I'm getting my dinner cooked, I'm getting my feet rubbed, and you over there talking about you got a job. I got a job too. Get on yours, you'll get somebody. Stop complaining.
I can't take it. Mr. Rutledge, in our closing remarks, what do you have for our listeners?
Okay, what I have is, if you're gonna be a man, and if you're gonna send manhood down the line, first of all, you have to know who you are. You have to know the power that you have. You have to know that you are created to be a cultivator. You are created to be a manager. You are created to create life. You're created to give life. You're created to manage that life that you've been given. It's all about that responsibility. It's about that identity. It's about that purpose. It's about that direction of manhood.
You guys, as always, it's been a blast. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Mr. Rutledge. Sean, always thank you for being the realest. I just need to give a shout-out to who I think is the world's best dad on the face of the planet. And I do know that there are still good men that exist. I have an awesome father, the best on the planet. So shout-out to my dad, Michael Guy, and for all of those that are listening, do whatever you can to create change. Women, continue to do what you're doing to raise your sons. The fathers, get involved and do whatever you can to start raising your sons. As always, you guys, be safe. Have a blessed week. And don't forget to Facebook it, tweet it. Tune in for another episode of Dr. Guy's Monday Night Gumbo. Everyone, have a blessed week.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.